Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Be a Better You podcast. I have a guest with me today, and today we're doing just a random pop-up kind of podcast interview. I have not prepared this in any way, but I'm really excited to see what comes up, and I know that it's going to land with whoever's listening at the right time, at the right place, for the right people. So, without further delay, I would love for you to go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody in the audience, and then we'll just get started and see what comes up.
Sounds good. I'm Gigi. I am owner and creator of Spiritual Gangsta. I have been on this spiritual journey since July of 2020. That's when I really went on my first spiritual awakening and kind of found myself and the essence of who I am. From there, I have become a Reiki master. I am a certified rapid reprogramming coach as well, just like you are. That's something new that I've acquired. I do shamanic healings. I am a psychic surgeon and a dream worker, and really all things subconscious related is kind of my field for my business. So I'm very excited to be here with you for my first podcast.
Yay, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being here. I want to know all the things. I want to like just see where this conversation flows. But the first thing that came to my mind was when you said you started your spiritual journey back in July of 2020. What kicked that off? What was the start of that? That I think would be a good place to start.
Yeah, so for me, I am a surgical nurse. That's what I've done for the last 8 years now. I was in the midst of a pandemic. I was working at a major level one trauma center. I was also at that point a travel nurse, very new. I had started in 2019 and was really just learning to vibe and the setting of being a travel nurse. When you're a travel nurse, you kind of just go into a hospital, you get a couple days of training, and you're just expected to be a fully functioning part of their staff. And I had started this in 2019, right before the pandemic hit, really getting settled, getting my feet wet, going to different facilities. And then, boom, the pandemic hit. So not only was I a local traveler at the time, I was living in Arizona. I also still had a per diem job at the primary hospital that I had worked at for the last few years prior to that. So we're now dealing with a pandemic. We have no idea at that point what we're up against. I had seen, not just in this time period, but working in a trauma facility, so much death, very traumatic death, people in car accidents, shootings, just victims of really terrible. Terrible trauma. And when COVID hit, while car accidents went down, people were on the road less, people were seeking care less frequently, in spite of the fact that they may have needed it more, just because of the fears surrounding it. Things like violent crimes went up, abuse went up in the household because everyone all of a sudden is stuck and the constraints of these four walls that they're living in with the people that they most likely didn't know to the full extent. And after watching so many tragedies and having to put people in body bags, essentially, is what we really were doing for a very long period of time. I just was so burnt out. I didn't get into nursing to watch people die. I got into nursing to make a difference and to help people live. And I felt like the way we were being told to do our jobs, the resources that we have or really didn't have to complete the tasks at hand were just taken from us. And so that really sparked an introspective journey for me, in which I decided to take a sabbatical from work. I took about 2 months off. I went on a retreat in Sedona where I got exposure to these amazing practitioners that truly changed my life. I met my shaman that I still work with today. I met the first person to really get me to explore my ancestors, my spirit guides, my resources that I use today. I did breath work. I did really any healing that you can think of. I did it on this week journey, and I became a new version of myself, and I continued to dabble in these. I decided in 2021 to go on my own Reiki journey. I became a Reiki practitioner and a Reiki master, and really decided I wanted to use these tools that had helped me heal from really traumatic things that I would see when I would go to sleep at night, and take that and give them the same sense of healing that it gave me. And that's essentially why I decided to do this, you know. I think as I look at why I've stepped away from nursing, even in the present day, it's all from the same thing: lack of resources, and just really feeling like I don't get to make a difference. Going to the spiritual side of my business, that's where I know is the difference that I set out to make when I first became a nurse.
I love that. And you had mentioned, I think the word you used was spiritual surgeon. Is that right?
Psychic surgeon,
Psychic
yes.
surgeon. Psychic surgeon.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Tell me or tell the audience what that is.
So psychic surgery is really cool. It's basically a form of a Reiki energy in which you channel the divine life force energy just like you would in Reiki, but you use it with a specific intention. Everything starts as energy. Your energy, I'm energy, money is energy. Everything we come to contact is an energetic being, and it's innately neutral. We give it a charge, either it's positive or it's negative. So when we look at how disease forms, energy is either in alignment or out of alignment. And when things start to become energetically out of alignment, that's when it leads to dis-ease, which eventually leads to disease. And so the principle with psychic surgery as a whole is to go in, find the root cause of the energetic imbalance, restore the energetic flow of energy, and then ultimately impacting the physical aspect of what it is that's formed in your body. So, for example, it can be a tumor, it could be weight loss. You know, people don't think about our physical weight as being a spiritual weight. But I can tell you firsthand that in some of the work that I've done personally, there's been days I've done deep dives into this myself. I do Reiki on myself, same with psychic surgery. And I've gone to work the next day. And while the scale or the number on the scale doesn't indicate I've lost weight, I've lost energetic weight. Therefore, people come up to me, "Wow, you look great. What have you done? You know, whatever you're doing, keep doing." You know, and it's not a physical thing that I've changed about myself. I didn't all of a sudden go to the gym, you know, and fast all day or do anything differently, but it was an energetic cleanse. And when you remove and heal the energy in your body that is at that stage of dis-ease, you give yourself the physical healing as well. So, having the background as a surgical nurse, one of the things that I like to do is I've pretty much seen almost all procedures at this point. Is when I'm working with my clients, I visualize what I'm doing as if it's an actual surgical procedure. You make an incision, you open it up, you get to the root of the problem, you send it energy just like you would for Reiki, and you pull out whatever needs to come back into harmony in the person's body, and then close up the wound just like you would in a surgery, and you know, give it a little dressing, so to speak. And you know, while it's not a one-stop shop fix, and it's oftentimes for bigger things, it requires subsequent sessions. It really does heal you on an energetic level, which ultimately results in healing you on a physical level as well.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think about, and we've talked about this before, about how we are, and I think you were the one that said this term about a meat suit.
Yeah.
That we're literally, because we are these spiritual, energetic, however you want to, whatever you want to call it, right? But the life force that's inside of us is housed inside this vessel, right? So, yes. We can't neglect that part of us, right? Yeah, we can eat good foods and exercise and drink the waters and eliminate toxins and like all that stuff is part of what our physical body needs. But are we doing the things that our energetic body needs?
100%, 100%. And I think, a meat suit is just like a general term I like to use because we're at the end of it, again, back to energy. We are all energy. We're a soul in a human body having a human experience. But what we're really experiencing is shifts in energy everywhere we go. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but you walk in somewhere, you've been outside, you come home and you feel the energy. As somebody that grew up with a narcissistic father, I would just sense. And I think that's, a lot of where my intuition came in as a child is being able to sense, is dad in a good mood today? Are we going to walk around on eggshells? What's that feeling? Because you can feel the energy is palpable, and when you get that sense of tightness or your body takes over and it feels like it's shutting down, you associate that with negative energy. Again, energy isn't negative or positive, it's neutral, but we give it a negative or positive connotation. So, being in our meat suit, we have to adapt to what's going on around us when ultimately we can control what goes on within us because we're all mirrors. So you come to a interaction with, for example, my father, right? And he's having a bad day. So he reflects that on me, and I pick up on that. And then all my insecurities and my fears and everything inside of me that is being projected back onto me comes to the surface. And you really feel that, energy again is palpable. So, how we go about with whether we interact is what shifts and chooses the path that we're going to go on for that day. So, okay, we have a negative interaction. Are we going to let it affect us, or are we going to come from it? That's a you problem, not a me problem. And I'm going to continue to go about my day in a neutral energetic charge. Nothing comes of it. If we own that energy and we take it on as our own energy, then you get into traffic, you have a bad interaction at the grocery store. Nothing seems to go right, so it's all a matter of how we play with that energy in our day-to-day environment.
I agree. And you know that I work in human design. And so as one of the tools that I use to help people, obviously the subconscious reprogramming and all that too, but I was just having a conversation with someone earlier this morning about their energy centers and the openness of those centers, and how sometimes if your energy centers are very open like that, you can be more prone to feeling other people's energy, right? Because around us, that kind of like that auric field is we are being in other people's energies, our energies are impacting them, and vice versa. And it's like, you have to ask yourself the question, like, is this mine or is this coming from somewhere else? Like, and that reminded me of when you were talking about your dad. It's like, because then sometimes without even realizing it or knowing it, we take on these things from other people around us. We may have these sensitivities to it. And is that now going to affect us? Like, so how can we just be observers, be observant of what's happening, and then really question, is this something that I'm taking on from somewhere outside of me, or is this actually coming from within?
100%. And that's a lot of what I do and I work with in psychic surgery and Reiki as a whole. Everybody we come into contact with, we have a connection. You bump someone on the side of the street and you're walking by, that's an energetic bump. You are now exchanging energy, whether intentional or not, On the flip side, you have your relationships. Those are conscious choices that we're making and conscious cords that we're creating. But if you don't get rid of the cords and the attachments that you come across every single day, these pile up, pile up, pile up, and the good or bad energy that you're picking up from other people leads to, again, dis-ease, which leads to disease. So it's really all back to keeping your energy clear, and how you go about your day-to-day interactions that's going to affect your whole life.
How do you suggest people do that? Like protect your energy, clear your energy. Like what are the some of the your favorite ways or your best way or tips that you would suggest?
So first and foremost, I obviously come into contact with a lot of people every single day, especially when I work as a nurse. You know, these people are very sick and they are carrying disease, you know, in one way, shape, or form. And one of the things that I like to do at the end of every single day is I cut cords. So I just will close my eyes. I will think about my whole day. And I come from a point where I believe you don't need to know what it is that you're cutting. It's just an energetic form. I don't need to be so specific where I'm like, at 12 o'clock on Tuesday, I had this interaction and I want to release it. Can you do it that way? 100%. But at the end of every day, I just like to think, this is my day in front of me. And I just imagine you can either take scissors and straight cut the cords. Imagine just all these ropes of everybody that you've interacted with and just cut, 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 or a big sword. A sword is my favorite. A sword, I'm an air sign. Swords are they go hand in hand with air signs. So I love swords. I love fire. I use dragons to burn them. I will literally imagine my little dragon spirit guide just blowing fire everywhere from head to toe, igniting anything that I've come into contact with. And I just will say, I'm releasing anything from my day that is not mine, that no longer is needed, and send it back to the original source of the energy. Because anything that you take from somebody is something in their energetic field that's missing from them, so to speak. So you hold other people's energies and you give parts of yourself every day. So not only do you want to cut the cords that you are attached to other people with, but you want to call back your energy as well. So after I take a knife and I do like a basic 360 sword maneuver around my whole body, releasing any of the attachments that I've acquired throughout the day, I call back my own energy as well. So I will say something as simple as, I'm calling back my energy that I have extended to others throughout my interactions and my day. And you will feel it, especially if you're energetically sensitive, you will feel it come back into your body just as much as when you're cutting things, you will feel things release. You may not notice it on a physical level, but on an energetic level, the more you start to tune into it, the more you will become energetically sensitive to that feeling of knowing, have I released something? Have I called back my energy? Do I feel whole? Another thing I like to do that my mentor taught me is just to check in. You know, I think when things get hard, our souls tend to leave our body, so to speak, and they want to be free and wander and not deal with the chaos and the trauma of the 3D world. So, really calling my soul back to myself. You know, if I wake up extra tired and I think I've been wandering in the dream world, I will simply say, I'm calling back my soul. And I feel it like a zip coming back into my body. It's like a real intense jolt of caffeine, you know? You just all of a sudden feel whole when you didn't really know that you were missing a part of yourself. But same thing goes back to energy. So I would say those are two of my favorite things. When I go out and I interact with people, I do it in a couple different ways. I have like an imaginary cloak, I like to call it, and I just put my arms in it, so to speak, and just like put it on, and it's like my protective shield. You can shield yourself in a variety of different ways. Sometimes I'll imagine roses, like stemmed roses all around my body, as roses are a high vibration. So red roses are really powerful as well. And just setting that intention when you know you're going to go into situations where it's not of the highest vibration, but something that you need to take care of in the physical 3D world, setting that intention, talking to your spirit guides, talking to the universe, source, God, whatever it is that you truly believe in, and just having that conversation, intention is so powerful. And when we just set the intention and say, keep me safe, keep me protected, protect my energy, you will go about in your way, in your day, noticing that things tend to flow a lot better than when you're not intentional. Ooh, how do I want to say it? Intentional about the choices you're making, you know?
I love that. And I think about And you know about this too, because we both work with the brain, and brain science to reprogram your subconscious mind. So even intention is about what your reticular activating system is paying attention to, right? So that part of your brain at the base of your at your brain stem that filters everything out, right? So if you go into your day like, I'm going to intentionally protect my energy today, you're filtering out other things that are not going to be about that. It's going to help you zone in on the things that are feeling good to you and the things that are actually lifting you or helping you feel secure and keeping those things out, right? So it's not just about like even just like forcing yourself to think about it in a certain way, but making the intention and actually using a part of your brain that will help you achieve it. It's literally
Yeah.
part of your human makeup, right? So you're what I love about it is it's like you're taking the energetic part of yourself and combining it with the human part of yourself and working together with it, right? It's not just one or the other, right? Just like we're not just working on physical exercise and eating healthy, but we're working on surgically removing the things out of our spiritual bodies and out of our energetic bodies that actually need to be extracted and removed so that that can flow easily too, right?
100%, because it's like a little triangle or a triad. I like to think of it. It's your mind, your body, and your soul. Like you just said, they're not separate. Together, they create the whole entity of everything that you are. So we can focus on the physicality of health. I've got to eat right. I've got to get enough sleep. I've got to not drink enough water. You know, that's great for the physical body. But what about our mind? Let's start there. 95% of our day-to-day activities is run by the subconscious, like you know. So if our mind isn't healthy and our mind isn't fed and watered and taken care of just as much as it is in the physical aspect, then there's still that dis or this imbalance, so to speak, in which it's affecting everything else that you're going to come into contact with that day. Like you said, your reticular activating system is going to control that. If you think, I want to see a white BMW today, you're going to go out in the world and you're going to see nothing but white BMWs, you know? Whereas if you tell yourself, I'm not going to see one, the same thing is going to occur because your words are, in a way, a spell that you speak, you know? And everything that you put into the universe, whether you think it or you speak it, is what your reality is going to be based. And while it's much easier said than done, especially when you're going through the thick of it to try and think good thoughts, it's not just about thinking it. It's about retraining your brain so you're actually creating new neural pathways. So it's not something you think about and it just becomes automatic. You know, when we get up in the morning, we don't have to think how we're getting dressed. We just do. You know, are you going to brush your teeth? Half the time, you don't even realize you're brushing your teeth. You're just standing there, you know, doing the motion, brushing your teeth. But it's a habit that you've created throughout years of your life where you know, this is part of my morning routine, you know? So shifting that and making those conscious changes are what's going to create those new neural pathways, which eventually leads to change.
Yeah, and anything that we can do to make the things more automatic that serve us versus allowing the things that are automatic that aren't serving us, right? Like if we're getting triggered or if we're experiencing something that feels like guilt or shame or like any sort of negative thing that's being automatically triggered or as an automatic, like I think about, for example, like people who complain a lot. And I used to be like this because I was in a narcissistic family when I was married. And there was so much triangulation going on. There was so much talking behind everybody's backs. There was so much like talking about other people and just really this like negative, gossipy kind of thing. And that became an automatic thing for me. Like that was so automatic. And I didn't even know or realize it. So, like, even when I was out with friends and stuff, I would catch myself like gossiping about other people or talking about other people. And I know now that because I wasn't aware of it back then, but I know now that was just a automatic thing that my brain said, oh, well, this is important to you for you to behave this way. So, and maybe it was a protection to keep the focus off me or whatever. I don't know, but it was an automatic. So if we can't see our automatic behaviors that aren't serving us, we can't change them. So once we are aware of them, we can start to shift that and then use things like intentions to protect our energy or to go about our days with positivity or to look for, opportunities or connections with people or whatever those things might be, then we're actually using the energetic, the triangle that you said, the mind, body, the spirit, all those things in tandem together in a really nice, cohesive way to serve us, to help us serve other people or the collective or however you want to say that. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think I've learned so much in such a short period of time about this stuff. And I think, the more you're drawn to this world and the deeper dive you take, you can go down all sorts of rabbit holes, And all of a sudden, you're on one topic and you are somewhere completely else. And if anything I have learned is that the more that you protect your energy and you really view it as something that's sacred, and something that you don't just give away freely. And this goes back to the whole idea of narcissism. Sometimes I look at narcissism and I think that they have, I don't want to say that they're good qualities, but they're qualities that the rest of us don't see our worth in. A narcissist just believes they're an innately deserving, regardless of the actions that they take and the things that they do to hurt us. And I think, in some ways we can use that perspective when you take the charge away from the negative side of narcissism and realize that we are all innately worthy, and our energy is sacred, and to protect that and be not cautious. I don't want to instill fear that you have to protect your energy, and if you don't, bad things are going to happen, because that's not the case at all. And I think that's a common misconception in the spiritual community, but our energy is sacred. It's a form of currency. It is our ultimate currency in exchange in everyday life, and how we show up, whether we're the best version of ourselves or the worst version of ourselves, is going to impact the things that come about in our lives. So, keeping the idea of our energy being sacred and who we share it with and how we give it and the interactions that we have going along our day is ultimately a form of protection in itself. Just by having the intention and being conscious about how we spend our energy, whether that's the movies we watch on Netflix or, for me, I don't like to watch the news, and a lot of people think that maybe I have my head in the clouds because I'm not grounded into what's going on in the world. But I think we can approach it from a completely different perspective. I like to give terrible things that are happening in the world energy. I'm not focusing on and fixating on the negative aspect of it. Like attracts like, just as negative things attract more negativity. So focus on giving things light instead of focusing on the reality of the darkness is kind of the perspective I take, especially when it comes to current events and things like that. But what we watch, what we read, who we talk to, the people we're around, all of that impacts our energetic body. And so the intention is really where it lies as to how our day is going to unfold, and really the opportunities that are going to come to us. I think that as a generator, I am trying more and more to dive into the things that really light me up. Because I've come to find out in both my nursing career, when I needed a sabbatical, and even now as I'm feeling pretty burnt out in the nursing world, that I have to come back to me. And if I'm not lit up by it, I'm not putting out something productive either. We can go and we can half-ass our day and half-ass our job, but when we are shining and we are in our prime energy, that's when we're really making a difference. That's when the coincidences and the people you meet show up in your life that are meant to be your little breadcrumbs of the trail that you're on. And the universe really will give you breadcrumbs. You just have to look for them. If you want something to come into your life and you're like, I don't know. I don't see the whole path in front of me, but do you see the next step? What is the next step that you need to take? You don't need to see the whole path.
Right.
You just need to see the next step. If you take the next step, the universe will provide that next breadcrumb and show you the way. And instead of seeing the overall picture, just like when you look at retraining your subconscious mind, you can't retrain the whole thing overnight. You have to take pieces of it and work at it. But as one piece is healed and revealed, the next piece comes to the surface, just like the next breadcrumb will come about in your day-to-day interactions. You'll overhear a conversation that isn't even meant for you, but it's meant for you. Or you'll come into a new relationship with somebody that you bumped into at Starbucks, and you started a casual conversation in which, that sparks something that creates now a new energetic cord, and this cord leads to opportunity, and they have just the thing that you were looking for this morning. So I think it's about being open to following your own energy and where it's going to take you.
I agree. And I was thinking about when you were talking about that earlier about like protecting your energy, how, I feel like we are conditioned so much in society to think logically, use our brains, be rational, like all that stuff, right? Because that is part of the human experience, right? However, that's not what our energetic body does. It feels into intuition and sensing and like that. It doesn't know logic. It doesn't operate that way. Our body, our physical brain does, but like why so much do we rely on our brain to decide is this good, is this bad, right? Versus just feeling into it. Because I can tell you there are times, well, I'm a generator too, like you. But I have a couple of people in my life who are projectors. And those, for those of you who don't understand or don't know human design, you can go out to my website and you can run your chart and understand your human design. But a projector is supposed to wait for the invitation. So they're supposed to be giving their guidance and giving their wisdom, but they're supposed to be waiting for other people to ask for it. They're not just supposed to be going out and telling it. So I've got a few people in my life who don't live in their aligned versions of a projector, and they're constantly doing that. And what happens to me is my energy just feels like it's being sucked out of my body. I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I have got to go in my room and shut the door and recharge because I feel like somebody has literally drained everything out of my entire body. So it's not just, about logically, where can I spend my energy? What am I taking it? Like, it's also just feeling it, like feeling into yourself and knowing, like, is this serving me? Is this good for me? And not logically thinking about it, but actually, I think it's so important to feel it and like trust your instincts and trust your intuition about all the things that are impacting you day to day versus just, does this make sense? Is this logical? Is this rational? That sort of thing. And a lot of people are very logical, rational people. I have a lot of people like that in my life. I'm not saying you need to like not do that or not use that part of your body because you are supposed to, but don't neglect the other part because that is such a huge piece that I think so many people neglect that can be a very like a guidepost for them or like, I don't know, like a compass to help direct your life. And it's important not to neglect that piece of who you are because it is definitely a piece of who you are.
100%. One of the things that you were while you were talking that really stood out to me was in looking at the concept of divine masculine and feminine. Again, we have both components. The world is run by the masculine energy, the do, the logic, not the feminine side that we all have within as well, that creativity, the intuition, the rest. Rest is so important, and it's so important not only for your energy, but your everything you're trying to create for yourself. If you don't rest, you don't allow room to create either and to be in that feminine aspect of yourself. Both are important. Not one is more important than the other, but the world is run by men, the man logic, the generator idea of work, 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 work. And as a generator, we can work, 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 work when we're lit up by it.
Yes.
But when we're not, forget about
It was
it's
horrible.
an energy depleter, like you were just talking about. And one of the things that you can use really is just calling back your energy. As soon as you're feeling that depleted version of yourself, cut all the cords from the day. You'll realize that they are sucking your energy. Everyone, the ultimate cord is the cord between a mother and a child, the umbilical cord. You know, when we start at the beginning, that's where the original cord comes from. That is your life force, so to speak, as you're growing, right? We cut the umbilical cord when we're born, and then we go about life, and all these other cords that are connected to us from our energetic interaction suck energy out of us. So by releasing those cords, we're now getting back to our full source of battery, just like in a generator situation, we're at max capacity. And calling back our energy, you know, there it goes even higher. So we're a full and complete energetic being because we no longer have anything attached to us that's leaching our energy. And we're full and complete having our energy that was essentially leaching from other people just the same, you know. And I don't use the word leech in like a negative connotation. It's just taking from us that's rightfully ours. That energy is ours, and we're meant to be whole. We're not meant to spread it out all over the place.
What do you think about, like, because sometimes on the flip side, I feel like you can be around people who really like don't drain your energy, that really give you energy, that light you up, that you're feeling like super either motivated or excited or inspired. Like, and those are the kinds of people, obviously, that we gravitate towards and we want to be around, right? So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? I'm just thinking of the opposite because I know
Yeah.
I like to be around more because I don't feel drained and I feel really lit up by.
100%. I think that's a great question. And we look at it as what's your energetic frequency? You know, we're drawn to things that are either going to be at our frequency matching us or higher, that's pulling us. Because at the end of the day, if someone's energy is higher and somebody's is lower, you're going to have to meet somewhere in the middle. So someone's either coming down to meet, or so you're going to bring somebody up to meet you in order to have that energetic exchange. You know, there's no way around it. You have to find a common ground. And when you're on the same frequency, or somebody is vibing at a frequency higher, or you look at it from a point of, you know, I would like to achieve what this person has, or putting yourself in people's energy that of similar goals that you're working towards, you're going to notice that things will fall in your lap or come your way because you're vibing in that same frequency now instead of at a lower frequency. So at the basis, everything is not only energy, it's also a frequency. You know, you can look at things like dolphins and whales and how they emit frequency to just even communicate. It's no different in the concept of human beings. We're emitting a frequency, they're emitting a frequency, and where are we meeting in the middle? You know, that frequency is driving us to be like, I like that frequency. I like my own energy in that frequency. How do I get more of that frequency? How do I get more of that energy? How do I get more of what they have, so to speak, their auric field, you know? And we're naturally going to be drawn to things that either have that frequency or are higher.
I almost wonder too, because I'm thinking about times when maybe, and maybe sometimes it can be like a mirror, as you were talking about before. Like, if let's say I was vibing really low and I was like in a really crank mood or like really just feeling really icky, and then somebody comes along and they've got this like really high energy and I'm like super annoyed by them, like, get out of, like, you're like almost like to show me, you know, like to show me how I could look at myself differently, right? Because I've had that experience before where I felt like in a really like low vibe a long time ago. Like, I don't really feel like it resonates as much anymore, but where other people would come in with such a high energy and it almost like irritated me and it almost like made me uncomfortable to be around it, even though I would have rather been in that high vibe. I'd rather not been feeling the low vibe, but it almost felt like a discomfort even to be around people who had a higher frequency. And I wonder what that's about. I don't know.
So when we look at the law of mirrors, we are both the good things that we see in other people and the, so to speak, bad things that we see in other people. Like I've told you before, I used to always say that I get my worst qualities from my father and my best qualities from my mother, you know? And that's not true. We're our own unique identity. We're our own unique soul. We have our own soul code that we came into this world as to how we're going to live in an everyday physical 3D world, you know? And when we are, and when we admire a certain quality in someone, it's because we too have that quality within ourselves. And when we look at someone and we're like, oh, I don't like that. I don't want anything to do with that. It's because it's also triggering something in us. And maybe not the same thing, you know, like you can look at a murderer and be like, oh my God, I would never, you know what I mean? But if you break it down to what the root of the problem is with somebody who goes out and murders somebody else. You look at anger, you look at fear, you look at abandonment. So it's those root causes, those root energies, those root beliefs and feelings within our side that we're looking at somebody else and judging just the same. You know, like, are you going to go out and murder someone? No, of course not. You know, like we have this moral compass that we stick to, but the root cause of what stem from, usually it's something in childhood or something very traumatic that's happened along the way that has caused this person to change their energetic essence of what they came into this world with is the root of everything. So we're a mirror, both the good and the bad, you know, and back to the good, you know, when you look at someone and you're like, oh my God, I think the world of them. They are a great public speaker. They're great in their business or whatever it is that you too have that in within yourself. And sometimes it's harder to recognize the good that you see in others and yourself. But it just as you can see the bad, you'll see the good as well. You know, you are not one or the other, and energy is again not good or bad. It's neutral. What do we put behind it that decides whether or not we've given it the charge of positive or negative?
And I think most importantly, probably at least for me, is and something that I have learned is just to be aware. And I think that's the first thing, because if you are just going about your day and you don't question your behaviors, you don't question your emotions, you don't question why you think things that you think, you're essentially a zombie. Like you're just a zombie. And I don't want to be a zombie. I want to know, I want to understand myself, and I want to be better. I want to evolve and change and not stay stagnant and not be stuck where I'm at. So for me, it's always about, and I notice this too a lot, like in my relationship with my boyfriend, I notice at times like things that he will say that triggers me, or things that he will do that annoys me, or whatever. And I'm like, okay, what is this? What is this about? What is this trying to teach me? Because I do the same thing, and I'll do something, and then he gets upset or triggered by it. And it's like, hold on, what is going on in this dynamic that we each need to see and be a part of? Because if you're not aware of it, what happens is you just get into this kind of rut. You just get into this like kind of sticky stagnation, and like nothing's flowing easily, and the communication breaks down, and like everything can just be so much more fluid and easy if you're paying attention to these things and you're actually like listening to your inner nudges, listening to the whispers. And like I think, and you may have the same thought, but like when I meditate, and like because you were saying before, like you need to be like resting, and I think when I hear resting, I think immediately of all the times that I'm able to get clarity, get creativity, get like downloads and like inspirations and stuff just by resting, just by giving myself that quiet or that peace or whatever. Like, I don't know, I'm just like kind of like all over the place right now, but I just ultimately think that being with yourself, give yourself some silence, give yourself some quiet, and be aware of what are your habits? What are your behaviors? Why does this make up who you are? Did you learn this from somebody? Like, had you said, you know, I get my worst qualities from my dad. Is that true? Actually, no, it's actually not true. Right? Like starting to question the things that we constantly repeat to ourselves and tell ourselves every day has got to be the starting point.
100%. I think awareness in anything in this realm is the first step to anything. We can't change something if we're not aware of it, plain and simple, you know. But once we have that awareness, it sparks that curiosity that is like, all right, maybe there's something more. Maybe there's something that I can do differently that will get me a different result. Because that's literally the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So if it sparks that little bit of awareness, which triggers, all right, let me change something, again, triggers, you're starting to rewire your brain and create new neural pathways, and new experiences will ultimately occur.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is just like, it's what I just thought of was like, we are marrying like the spirit woo with like the science stuff. Like
Yeah.
literally what we're doing. And I hate to even call it woo. Like I don't even like to call, I know people a lot of times call it that, but I don't like to call it that because I feel like it's, but I think people understand what I mean. But I think it's more about just the base of who you are, like the essence of who you are, right? Not
Yeah.
this meat suit, not this visual person that you see that I see in you, not your sound of your voice, none of that. Like it's what's inside of you that really is. But I love the fact that we can have these conversations and that we can like put together these puzzle pieces and and use like what you said, that triangle. Like we have to create the triangle. We have to, we can't, it can't be unbalanced. We can't have all the focus on the body. We can't have all the focus on the mind. Like if you only focus on your mind, your body has to house that part of you, right? Your body has to,
100%.
if you're not taking care of your body, you're not going to be around to work on these things and to shift and to change yourself or become more conscious or raise the collective consciousness or whatever you want to say. Like, so all those three things have to be part of the equation. So I love that. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
What do you think if people are just hearing this, right? They're hearing this conversation and they're like, oh, wow, I've been hearing a lot of different interesting things and this energy stuff I haven't really like considered. And they are interested in getting more into the energy works or like learning about it. Where do you think is a good place to start?
I would say just noticing. Just start to notice your interactions when you go about your day. And give them, in spite of everything I've said, not being positive or negative, give them a negative or positive feeling so that you can identify how does your body feel? What do you feel in your body when you have a positive interaction? What do you feel when you have a negative interaction? Is your heart racing? Does your stomach hurt? Are you drained of energy, physically exhausted, mentally? What did an energetic exchange that you had that day make you feel in your body? Just start to notice and then go about your day and start to notice what you're doing in your day that's giving you the life that you're living. I think that when we go about our day to day and we really start to get personal and analyze the things that we do and the reasons that we do, and we sit with ourselves and ask us, why do you do that every day? Why every day the first thing that you do when you get up is you go and make coffee? Why? Yeah, and it's something that I've actually sat with. I used to be a 3 to 4 shots of espresso in the morning. I'd have 3 to 4, a little bit more. And when I started to look at the root cause of something as simple as why do I need coffee? That and that amount of coffee, because your body gets used to it, immune to it, and where in my life am I so depleted and so tired and energetically exhausted? That's the first thing I do every, because it used to be the first thing that I do every morning as well. Now I don't really drink any coffee. I've switched mostly to tea. I drink a lot of matcha and things like that. But start to become aware of the things that you do and ask yourself why. Why do you do what you do? What's the root cause? Is it something that you started doing as a child and now you just have continued the pattern? Do you truly identify with that as the essence of your soul and who you are? Or are you picking that up from mom or dad? Is that a belief that mom or dad held? A great example would be We can't afford that. Money doesn't grow on trees. That was something I heard my whole life, you know? And so you grow up with this perspective. Money doesn't grow on trees. It's not an energy in itself. And money is innately an energy, you know, just as much as we are. So the meaning that we put behind the things that we do every single day is where the results are going to show in your life as to the good, the bad, the ugly. So just start to notice every little thing that you do and analyze it. Once you notice it, again, it's just a matter of becoming aware. Once you notice or become aware of it, you can change it. If it's not giving you the end result that you're looking for, something needs to change. But if you don't know or you aren't aware, you how are you ever going to change it? How are you ever going to create those new neural pathways that lead to new experiences and new results if you don't simply notice? So noticing is.
I think I read a book. I can't, it was an audiobook. I can't remember the name. I think it's called Think Again. It was a really good book. But what he said was to talk to literally act like you're a scientist about your life. Like you scientists don't, when they are in their lab and they're doing like observing rats or like looking at cells divide under a microscope, they're not being like, ooh, those cells are really bad cells and they should be ashamed of themselves and like the rats shouldn't be behaving that way and they should, they're, you know, really stupid rats. Like they're not doing that. They're actually collecting data. They're observing from a standpoint of neutrality. They're not assigning good or bad or right or wrong to what they're looking at. So I thought that was really brilliant way to remind us how important it is to one take away the judgment, right? Because what's it going to do if that scientist is judging how the cells are dividing? Wow, they're dividing really fast. They must be in a really big hurry and they shouldn't be acting like that. Like how is that doing any, like inserting that kind of judgment onto it? And it's the same with you. If you are inserting that kind of judgment onto yourself and your behaviors, that doesn't actually serve you. It doesn't help you. But what, if you remove the judgment, does is it allows you to make changes to the behaviors if you choose to. So, like you said, if you have these thoughts about money or whatever that's coming up in your life, and you're like, wow, maybe this is a reason, a block that I have that I can't make money in my business because I believe it's difficult and I believe you have to work really hard and I believe this and that and the other, and that's contributing to my mental blocks to being able to receive. Oh, I never really thought about that. And now you're looking at it from a clear standpoint, objectively, without judgment, and then you can make changes to shift it. And then what happens then? Your life becomes easier. Things start to fall in your lap. Like we were talking about before, the universe sends breadcrumbs. You all of a sudden are just, oh, this happened for me today. Oh, and look at this. And like all these things are, because what happens? You're moving the blocks out of the way. All these things that have been blocking you are no longer in the way. So now you have a clear path and a clear way forward.
100%. Yeah. It's just putting those little changes into everything that you do and being conscious of those little changes. I think intention, like we talked about, is so important. Awareness, noticing, you know, just the little things that you shift will make the biggest differences in your day-to-day life.
All right, so one question I ask every person who comes on my podcast, and I'll ask you too, is what is something about Gigi? What is something about you that not a lot of people know about? Maybe people like in your immediate circle and stuff, but maybe something I don't know about you, maybe something other people not in your tight circle know about you.
Well, one thing that I was really passionate growing up was soccer. I had a lot of opportunity in the soccer community as a child and really into my early adulthood. I got to train with the women's national soccer team as a child. And it was an incredible experience to watch women who I had seen be so successful win gold medals, win World Cups, really be humans. And I think that, you know, I had such a great interaction with the women, they really were role models for me growing up. I was pen pals with one of the players, Tiffany Milbert, as a child. I got to wear Brandi Chastain's gold medal. And I think watching women in power really motivated me in a lot of ways as a child and a young adult to become a woman in power, so to speak, and really to not be afraid of all the men out there that are taking these big positions and doing big things, because I think that's something that, especially growing up decades ago, that we as little girls were taught that these were male roles and things that are important for men to do, and women should be in the home and whatever role you want to take in life, I think is a personal journey, and I don't fault one way or the other, but it really gave me the passion and the drive to think as a little girl and as a woman, I can do this too. And maybe not in the physical sense of being like an international soccer player, but just being a woman in the 3D world as a whole and thriving in that aspect.
That's awesome.
So that's, yeah, I think that's one thing I have never shared in my spiritual journey at all.
And you know why I love that so much is because that contributed to your programs, right? Because all of our experiences, good, bad,
Yeah.
whatever, contribute to our programs. So that program of you even just seeing these women and being part of the process and being part of the groups that you were in and the seeing the teams and seeing these women do what they do contributed to your program, right? Because not a lot of people have that same experience as you. And so they don't have that same program. And now you're able to carry those positive things with you to stand up, do the things that you do as a woman, not feel intimidated, be like, yeah, no, this is normal. Like this is what I saw growing up. And like this is okay for me to do this. And it's more than okay. It's good. It's a good thing, right? So I love that you have that because oftentimes we look at the negative programs that we have and the things that happen to us and our traumas and stuff. But I also think it's important to reflect on things like this that is actually a really good model for young girls. So thank
Yeah, no, and I guess I never thought about it from the community aspect also, and how much it really did program me as a child. I think that gave me a lot to think about in the fact that not only are they women in power, but they're working together for a common cause. And that's something even to this day I'm really passionate about. I believe that, alone we can do so little, together we can do so much. And when we come together, even just in this conversation that we're having, and other times we've sat down to chat, we learn from each other and we grow as a result of each other's experiences. So I think that's something that I definitely try and incorporate in my own business is, not only trying to grow myself, but grow with others as well in community.
yeah. Well, thank you so much. If people would like to connect with you, where's the best place to reach you? Are there any things that you're working on right now you want to share? Floor is yours.
Yeah, so if you want, you can visit my website. It's www.spiritualgangster, SPIRWITCHAL gangsta, GANGSTA.com.
I'll put that in the show notes because
I
helpful. Okay,
will.
go ahead.
I love a good pun. So there's so much to why I have the name. But yes, or my Instagram handle is Spiritual Gangster. I'll give those to you both as well for the show notes. But yes, I have so many exciting things coming. I'm working on a dream work alchemy program right now, to really tie in the subconscious aspect of how it affects our dreams and how to take what we dream at night, and when our subconscious is most susceptible to really listening to what it is that we have to say while we're asleep, and incorporating that into the physical world. So that's something I'm really excited to be bringing to the 3D, and we'll be launching here shortly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, for sharing all your wisdom and all your insights, and just having this like fun pop-up conversation because I had no idea what we were going to talk about today. I just knew there was like going to be a direction that it was going to go, and it was going to go wherever it meant to go. And I trust that it's going to land on the ears that need to hear it. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this conversation as I do all of them.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye.